again on the record. March 17th, 2021, coming back from recess, 1 o'clock, we're doing public hearings with on the operating capital and mental health budget for FY22. That's Senate Bill 49, 51, and 50. And we have callers online. If you could identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and then speak to the budget bills in front of the committee today. Try to keep your comments to a couple of minutes. We'll go through the list, and then when we're done with the list, we'll see what time it is, and then we'll probably take an at-ease for 15, 20 minutes and wait for the next group. But with that, I'd like to turn it over to Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Chair Stedman. We have four people on the line right now, and I will call on people in the order of when you signed on. And on the very top of the list, we have Mr. Chris Eckenlob.
Hi, this is Chris Eckenlob. You copy?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm calling from Wasilla, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself and my grandchildren. I just want to kind of briefly go over how we got here and how to fix it. You know, we got here by grossly mismanaging our resources. And we have the same folks in the finance committees that have been grossly mismanaging our resources for the last 5 or 6 years. So let's try to do something different here. We pissed through the CBR, and, you know, we didn't get here from supersized PFDs, contrary to popular belief. We got here from bloated budgets. And I'm going to say, you know, just for what it's worth, here's my idea how to fix it. Repeal SB 26. We want to take the PFD basically out of your hands, so that's one less thing that you got to do. We want to announce, you can have the governor come out and announce what our statutory PFD is going to be on January 1st, and then we're going to give the special interest and lobbyist people that lobby you guys, they can lobby us, the people. We're going to give them a few months to lobby us so we can pick, click, and give to whoever's going to need the additional funding that feels like they didn't get their big enough piece of the pie. So, you know, we're going to save $500,000 just in per diem with the extra 30 days that you guys are fighting over the PFD and who's going to get it. And then we're going to use the statutory formula that works, that worked for over 40 years, and it operates on earnings to make sure it grows forever. Now, if you think you need additional funding, they're going to go to the people, and they're going to do advertising on TV or whatever and say, hey, fund my thing. And we're going to pick, click, and give. It's going to give us a few months to decide if we want these people to get additional funding or not. And if they don't, well, obviously, it's not what the people wanted or needed, and they're going to go without additional funding. So you guys are off the hook on that. You don't have to worry about people coming crying to you needing more money, because you're going to say, well, the people decided that they didn't want you to have the additional money, so you didn't get it. So the people's money is still sitting in the ERA. Let's just pay it. In closing, we're going to vote out the PFD grabbers and end the corruption. Do you have any questions for me?
No, sir. Thank you very much for your testimony. And next up, we have Mary Jo Torgerson.
Hi there. My name is Mary Jo Torgerson, and I'm the Anchorage Library Director, and I'm calling on behalf of Alaska Library Association to ask you to support putting $635,000 into the Alaska State Library's budget. I know that it's a challenge right now given the economy, but these dollars would go towards the Alaska Library Catalog, which is a consortium of 90% of the public libraries in the state, and also would support SLED resources, and SLED are numerous databases. This budget amount was in last year's budget. The governor vetoed it, and I'm hoping that you can reinstate it this year. Why we're asking for this right now is in the past, the UAA Consortium Library has heavily supported this, and through the last 7 years, they've lost so much of their budget that we need these dollars to help cover the databases are really important because in a lot of ways, they're an information dividend available to the entire state. For example, Live Homework Help. Live Homework Help doesn't only help children. It also provides live resume review and interviewing assistance, tumble books for K through 12. Anyhow, there's just so many resources. So I do ask that you reinstate $635,000 into the Alaska State Library budget. Thank you, and thank you for what you're doing. These are hard times, and I appreciate the hard work you all are doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Really appreciate that. I just want to state for the record, in the room we have Senator Stedman, Senator Bishop, myself, Senator Von Imhoff, and Senator Olson, and online we have Senator Wilson and Senator Wilikowski. Next up, we have Philip Licht, Set Free Alaska.
My thanks to the chair and to the finance committee. My name is Philip Licht. I am the executive director with Set Free Alaska. We are an organization located in the Mat-Su Valley as well as in Homer, providing substance abuse, mental health treatment for adults as well as trauma treatment and behavioral health treatment for children. I'm calling to ask for your support for the Alaska Recidivism Reduction and Recovery Project. It is a CAPSIS project we've submitted within the capital budget, and it's for a program that I know many of you are aware of from last year and were in support of, and I just thank you very much for that support and ask that you would continue with this year. Our goal with this program is to develop a pilot that will work towards reducing new crimes as well as recidivism and ultimately help people get sober, get clean and sober, improving their quality of life, and be able to be a contributing member to society. So we are looking to purchase a 7-acre piece of property near the hospital in Mat-Su. It is a gorgeous property that has the ability to house approximately 80 people per year, either coming out of incarceration, coming out of residential treatment, or who are at risk of incarceration or new criminal offense. And what we will do is we will surround them with substance abuse treatment, safe, sober housing, peer support, case management, and all sorts of workforce development type things to connect them to the community, get them employed, and ultimately get them out living on their own. This program is going to save lives, it's going to help a lot of people, and it's going to ultimately save our state money in the reduction of new criminal charges as well as reduced recidivism. So thank you so much. It's a $2 million request within the capital budget, the Alaska Recidivism Reduction and Recovery Project. Appreciate your time and all that you do. God bless.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony. Next up, we have Shannon Davenport with the Alaska Nursing Association.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Madam and Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Shannon Davenport. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska. I'm actually representing myself as a nurse and also the Alaska Nursing Association. I'm here to talk about Senate Bill 51 for the Mental Health Trust, or I should say Mental Health Budget. I was a psych nurse for API for a number of years. And our biggest issue is actually continuity of care. It's once patients are discharged from the facility and go back to community, up here in Alaska, unfortunately, we're limited on what resources we have available. I think with the budget staying as it is, it doesn't really give us room for growth and to help those individuals that, you know, in our mental health community desperately need it. Instead of, as the previous gentleman spoke of, readmissions to API, readmissions to our ERs, readmissions to, I mean, unfortunately, our jails and things like that, because we really don't have any place for individuals to go to. These are people who, just like you and me, just some have hit a rough patch and just need additional help and services that I think if we could increase the budget somewhat for the Mental Health Trust would go a long way towards making us, you know, being able to take care of our own here in Alaska, and also just being able to limit, I guess, all of the interaction with our hospitals and things of that nature. Thank you for your time. Do you have any questions for me?
No, thank you. Thank you very much for your testimony. Next up, we have Michelle Raymond, or Raymond, Set Free Alaska.
Hi, thanks for allowing me to share today. My name is Michelle Raymond. I'm calling in. I'm actually an alumni of the Set Free Alaska Drug and Alcohol Treatment Program, and I'm also calling to testify on behalf of the Alaska Recidivism Reduction and Recovery Project. From the trenches of my own former addiction and to the front lines of working with others in recovery over the past 4 years, I've seen firsthand how paramount the foundation of safe, stable housing is to successful sobriety and reentry for offenders. I currently work contracted through the Alaska Department of Corrections and am dedicated to helping reentry clients be successful and to reduce recidivism. I provide substance abuse assessments for offenders before they're released from custody and support them in seeking wraparound treatment services to include housing, drug treatment, mental health care, job readiness, and other supportive services. I'm finding this task is just simply not possible without more sober transitional living options in our community out here in the Mattsu Valley. Set Free Alaska saved my life 4.5 years ago when I came here for treatment. And I hope with your support to be given the opportunity to help others the way I was loved and supported through treatment with Set Free Alaska. Every day it's my goal to help just one addict at a time. And with your support, the ripple effect from each addict we help could impact our entire state financially and spiritually. I think it can help heal families as well as lighten the load on our corrections departments and budgets dedicated to them. So I very much again thank you for allowing me to share today, and thank you for your support in the budget allocation for our project.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next up, we have Jenny Pollard.
Good afternoon. I'm Jenny Pollard, Chief Marketing and Fund Development Officer at THRED, Alaska's Child Care Resource and Referral Network. Thank you for taking my testimony today. I'm calling to just encourage you to support the early childhood funding proposed in the governor's FY22 budget. The proposed budget includes support for early childhood resources and services, such as child care benefits for families, infant learning and early learning coordination, pre-K and other vital family supports. Every dollar we invest in young children helps to prepare them for life and school. So while supporting the current investments is important, it's not enough. So I'm also urging you to consider to designate additional resources towards early childhood programs and supports with the new federal funding coming to Alaska. Thank you for your support of young children and families, and I also want to thank you for all of your hard work right now. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny, for your testimony. Yes, we are looking at the new round of American Recovery Act money, and I do see that there is funds for early education. Next is Susie Pearson with the Abused Women Aid Crisis.
Good afternoon. How are you all today? Thank you so much for allowing public testimony on today's operating budget. To the co-chairs, Foster Merrick, and the Finance Committee members, my name is Susie Pearson, and I am the Executive Director of Abused Women's Aid in Crisis, which is the only emergency shelter in Anchorage providing immediate safety and shelter to victims of domestic violence. I want to thank you for your support for the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, AHFC's Homeless Assistance Program, and Empowering Choices Program. These funds help in completing the continuum of services needed to help victims move from shelter to permanent housing. Safe shelter is the first step in reaching for a life without violence. Safe permanent housing is one of the key components to helping victims break free from the cycle of violence. Thank you for your continued support of victims and survivors of domestic violence in Anchorage and throughout the state. I deeply appreciate the work that you do, and especially during this difficult time. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Ms. Pearson, for your testimony. Next up, we have Mr. Gregory Heath.
Good afternoon, Senator. My name is Gregory Heath. I am a retired Superior Court judge from Palmer. I am here today to testify in support of the Alaska Recidivism Reduction and Recovery Project as proposed by Set Free Alaska. During my judicial career, I adjudicated thousands of criminal probation and child in need of aid cases. I was also one of the founding judges of the Palmer Mental Health Therapeutic Court. In the majority of criminal cases, the lack of available substance abuse treatment and safe, sober, and supervised housing are key barriers to successful rehabilitation of formerly incarcerated individuals. Both of these barriers are addressed by this project. This innovative program, a holistic model that addresses the core issues that have limited Alaska's ability to reduce recidivism. First, addiction treatment is provided by Set Free Alaska, which has an exceptional track record of treatment. Through their outpatient and inpatient programs, peer support groups, and mental health treatments, Set Free Alaska provides an ideal model for addiction treatment. Beyond providing for addiction treatment, this project adds the concept of a therapeutic campus for recently released individuals. This concept is very innovative, and I believe addresses current gaps in our current recidivism reduction system. First, it provides 6 to 18 months of supervised treatment. This time period is extremely important and is often overlooked in short-term housing plans. For example, most therapeutic court systems in Alaska require by statute 18 months of participation. This amount of time is recommended by experts in the field of rehabilitation and recidivism. The minimum of 6 months of safe and sober housing provided by this project during this crucial window of time is, in my opinion, necessary to achieve long-term success. Second, this therapeutic campus model provides a sober and supervised housing experience. This campus will provide accountability through staff and peer support and supervise them random UAAs and other built-in components. In my opinion, this well-designed program is one component that has been lacking in our rehabilitative system. More often than not, recently released individuals are required to fend for themselves.
Mr. Heath, can you wrap up your testimony, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, just wrap it up. Just a few more sentences.
Oh, yeah. I just have a few more sentences.
Okay.
In conclusion, Senators, this project is cutting edge. In my opinion, as a judge who has supervised the release of hundreds, if not thousands, of prisoners in our community, this project is necessary and a key addition to the state of Alaska, and it is a huge benefit to our community. The project will create economic savings, and it promotes community safety. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we have Allie Lithgow.
Hi, everybody. My name is Allie Lithgow. I'm the Associate Clinical Director for Set Free Alaska, and I have also called in today to testify on behalf of the Recidivism Reduction and Recovery Project. So a component of my role at Set Free is to provide substance use treatment services through our contract with the Palmer Therapeutic Wellness Court, and I feel that this partnership is a great example and testament to the benefit and success a recovery campus would bring to our state. In my work with this court, I have gotten to experience directly how working with a multidisciplinary recovery-focused team can effectively meet the complex needs of those who are being released from incarceration every day. What I've seen is that these needs stem far beyond just treatment, mental health, substance use requirements, and require connection, peer, and assistance in establishing good, solid roots to grow within the community through things like peer support, case management, recovery housing, all those things that Philip had mentioned earlier. In our partnership with the Wellness Court, it's been made very clear to me that these types of collaborative, wraparound approaches to reintegration are not only effective, but provide a platform for facilitating hope and true healing for those looking to get their lives back on track that just don't know how to on their own. This project would significantly expand our resources and help to build up our infrastructure in a way that will allow our programs to offer a full continuum of services, bridge gaps within our systems, and provide wraparound care that has been proven to be effective in reducing recidivism and building a strong foundation of recovery. Part of our Set Free mission is that all Alaskans experience freedom from addiction. This project would maximize the access and impact of our services and allow for us to continue reaching and working with specialized populations like those getting released from incarceration and have a high legal involvement throughout the state. Those people often slip through the cracks, and this program is a great way to set them up for success and benefit our community in the long run. I appreciate your guys' time, and thank you for your consideration of Set Free on this project. It would absolutely impact our state in a really, really positive way. Thank you again.
Thank you, Ms. Lithgow, for your testimony. Next, we have Mr. Steve Ray.
Thank you for accepting my testimony today. My name is Steve Ray. I am the Set Free Alaska's Recovery Residence Manager. It's a brand new program, and really what it comes down to is providing transitional housing for those coming out of residential recovery and recovery in the prison system. And just from my own personal experience, I spent actually moved to Alaska 10 years ago to be in residential recovery setting, and spent 5.5 years doing that. The 5 years before moving to Alaska, I spent working with inmates in prison 2 nights a week on a volunteer basis. And one of the things that I saw continually through those 10 years of service to prison system and to residential recovery was the amount of times that men would leave those places and go into the same situation that they came there from, and would reoffend and or start using again. So this Alaska Recidivism Reduction and Recovery Project provides an opportunity for those people in those situations, not just men, but men and women in those situations, to have a safe and sober and positive place to go, where they can get back on track in their life, have services not just for peer support to involve them in a sober community, but also through our program to provide case management where they can build up their resume, find a job, and just get back on track with their lives, and also be reintegrated with their families in the situations that they were in before they offended. And I feel like with the support of the state and the support of this budget, that we will be able to greatly impact this population and have a positive effect on it for the unforeseeable future. I thank you so much for your opportunity to testify before you today.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Next up, we have Linda Hendrickson, Set Free Alaska.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you so much for taking my testimony today on the Recidivism Reduction and Recovery Project. My name is Linda Hendrickson, and I am the president of the board of directors for Set Free Alaska. Back in the beginning stages of the organization, the founders and the board could only dream of the impact that Set Free would someday have on the state of Alaska. It became apparent within a very short period of time that the reality of the need for recovery services far outweighed even the dreams of the organization. Within a short period of time, there were things and structured and put in place, such as certified peer support, intensive case management, supportive housing, access to treatment in the prison system, outpatient services, school counseling for children, inpatient, both for men and women, in the Matsu area and the Homer area. The economic impact speaks for itself, for with every 80 successful participants, the project anticipates an additional $20 million in cost savings and net economic impact. Set Free Alaska realizes the importance of reducing the recidivism rate and have focused efforts to reduce this by considerable amount by providing treatment both in prison-based and community-based environment. With the approval of this and support of this request for this project, it will be possible to continue services in a new and innovative setting and cover every aspect of treatment. And it will also allow the mission to be realized, which is to facilitate individuals and family restoration and to improve public safety and decrease crime related to substance abuse in Alaska. thank you so much for taking this testimony, and we are looking forward to your support on this project.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hendrickson, for your testimony. Next up, we have Rick Nelson, Ark of Anchorage.
Hi, my name is Rick Nelson.
Hello, my name is Rick Nelson, and I'm with the Ark of Anchorage.
So, the Ark of Anchorage, the service is the
So the Ark of Anchorage provides services for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, as well as behavioral health.
So the City of Anchorage
recently released a mandate for us. And this says that all of group homes and assisted living homes that you have to have sprinkler systems installed in all of the homes. And that's if you have more than three individuals in each home.
The Ark does.
And the Ark does.
So we don't have this kind of right now.
So we don't have this kind of funding right now. And we are asking for a couple of capital budget requests. One would be for two of our behavioral health homes. And for those two, we're asking for
$150,000.
And for the rest of our group homes that are not behavioral health homes, we're asking for
$330,000.
And that would come out to $30,000 for each home.
All right.
Which is 11 homes total. So the Ark does not have this kind of funding right now.
So we are asking to help us with the next budget.
And so we are asking for your help with this necessary budget, which is due, the sprinklers are due by 2024. So we have 3 years to do all 13 homes. So I'd like to thank you all for giving us the opportunity to give testimony on the capital budget request.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nelson. We really appreciate that. I'm looking at my colleague, Mr. Bishop, or Senator Bishop, and he is going to definitely take a look at that in the capital budget. So thank you for that. Next up, we have Mr. Ryan Ray with Set Free Alaska.
Yes, hello, Senators. For the record, my name is Ryan Ray. I'm calling in from Palmer in support of Set Free Alaska's $2 million capital budget request for the Alaska Recidivism Reduction and Recovery Project. The mass incarceration and recidivism of individuals with addiction disorders continues to be a devastating problem for public health and safety in the United States. This challenge is especially evident in Alaska, where over 80% of our incarcerated population reports an addiction disorder. Within the first 2 weeks after release, these individuals are 129 times more likely to die of a drug overdose. Should they survive this period, 83% will likely be arrested again in their lifetime. Currently, thousands of formerly incarcerated individuals with addiction disorders continue to commit crimes and abuse drugs and alcohol following their release from incarceration in Alaska. Reported by the Alaska Mental Health Trust in 2017, there were 25,450 Alaskans who were victims of crimes directly attributed to drug and alcohol misuse for a total cost to our state of over $2.3 billion. Alaska continues to lack the community-based infrastructure needed to effectively overcome this challenge. Despite current efforts, 92% of all Alaskans returning to incarceration still require substance abuse treatment. The implementation-ready Alaska Recidivism Reduction and Recovery Project offers the state of Alaska a unique opportunity to mitigate criminal recidivism associated with substance misuse through an innovative community-based intervention. The project is a comprehensive intervention addressing the primary risk factors of ongoing criminal activity and substance misuse within an innovative therapeutic campus model and a mobile health platform developed in partnership with Oracle Global Public Sector. CEPRI Alaska's $2 million request will allow the agency to acquire the infrastructure needed to immediately provide this first-of-its-kind intervention to up to 80 individuals annually. The project is expected to achieve significant health, social, and economic benefits. For every 80 successful participants who don't commit another crime, the project could provide an additional $7.2 million in cost of crime savings and $12.8 million in additional net economic impact. Ultimately, though, this project is not just about saving millions or strategically positioning Alaska as a national leader in smart decarceration. This is about saving lives of valuable Alaskans who desperately need our help. Again, thank you for your time and your consideration of your project, and thank you for your leadership in this challenging time.
Thank you, Mr. Ray, for your testimony. Next up, we have Katie Rooks.
Hi, I'm as a small business owner and near 20-year resident of Alaska, I understand and support measures designed not only to cut certain state spending, but also measures designed to encourage and support diverse forms of revenue for the state. After a disastrous year following a state recession, due in part to excessive spending and some misplaced areas of focus, I acknowledge that we also as a state need to explore new forms of revenue. Specifically, my testimony today would support the proposed gasoline tax that I just now found out about, proposed by my own representative, Jonathan Christ Tompkins, as a way to boost revenue for vital infrastructure projects amongst other areas of focus. At the same time, today, I wish to voice my ongoing and strong opposition to such taxes as a state income tax. This kind of tax would burden working Alaskans such as myself beyond our capacity and would have the opposite effect of what its intent would be. Other taxes such as the gasoline tax might promote spending in some good areas and revenue that we desperately need. And so that's the purpose of my testimony today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rooks, for your testimony. Next up, we have Adam Cardwell.
Hello, my name is Adam Cardwell. I'm calling from Willow. I'm calling about the PFD and the government using money that was designated and set aside so if the government had X amount of the oil revenue and X amount went into savings and then X amount was supposed to go out to the people. The government keeps stealing half of the PFD check to pay for government waste. We as people of Alaska have to budget our money. Why don't the government start budgeting or else raise the revenue coming from the oil companies and the native corporations that instead of taking it from us, the people, they're not going to move their rigs because it costs them more money to move them. They're still going to drill in Alaska. They're just stopping right now because of the simple reason. For the last year, we've been on lockdown. People haven't been going to work, so they haven't needed the fuel. That's the only reason they shut down oil fields. And if they want the state needs money, charge a fair royalty on oil and mining. Quit stealing from the Alaska people who depend on that PFD to pay for heating oil or firewood for the winter or stuff for their kids to go to school, because there ain't a lot of jobs for people up here. And people live here because they don't want to be around large amounts of people. And the state was set up to take care of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next up, we have Abby Hensley with Best Beginnings.
Good afternoon. My name is Abby Hensley, and I am the Executive Director for Best Beginnings. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to hear from citizens, and I wanted to let you know that I echo the statements made by Jenny Pollard with Thread, and I'm pleased to hear from Senator Von Imhoff. I'm pleased to hear her confirm that there'll be resources for early childhood in the new relief bill, and look forward to seeing that roll out. It's really very important. And so I wanted to just share with you just a few things about Best Beginnings, which is funding for which is in the budget for the Department of Education and Early Development and the Early Learning Coordination Line. And Best Beginnings program, Imagination Library, is one that I think most of you are probably most familiar with. And I wanted to let you know that we just did a statewide evaluation of Imagination Library, and the results are very positive. I want to share just a couple of those with you to help shore up your support for Best Beginnings and Imagination Library. Well, we found that children who participated in Imagination Library had higher rates of kindergarten readiness than similar children who did not participate, and that this finding was consistent across student groups, which included English language learner students, Alaska Native students, and economically disadvantaged students. So, for example, among incoming kindergarten students in 2016 across the state, 30% of Imagination Library participants were kindergarten ready, compared to only 25% of similar students who did not participate. And participation is associated with higher literacy skills across the board and with higher reading and math achievement in grade 3. And this association, as you might imagine, was stronger for children who had participated for a longer amount of time in Imagination Library. And I will make sure that you all get a copy of that report. So I wanted to thank you for your continuing support of early childhood, of Imagination Library, and other resources that Best Beginnings provides to Alaska's young children and their families. And thank you very much for taking time to listen to us today.
Thank you, Ms. Hensley, for your testimony. Next up, we have Robin Menard at the Matsu Health Foundation.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Robin Menard, and I serve as Chief Communications Officer for the Matsu Health Foundation, which shares ownership in Matsu Regional Medical Center. And then we invest our share of the profits of the hospital back into the community in order to achieve our mission. I'm testifying today to give you insight into how proposed cuts to the Medicaid budget will impact the health of Matsu residents. Medicaid is vital to keeping Alaskans healthy and working. It gives people access to physical and behavioral health services that serve as a path to self-sufficiency. Almost 30% of the Matsu population benefits from Medicaid, and most of these Medicaid recipients are children, older Alaskans, people with disabilities, and people working in lower-wage jobs. When our board of directors decided to support Medicaid expansion, it was with the caveat that we work towards meaningful reform, and that is still where we stand. Medicaid reform is working. State of Alaska spending on Medicaid has remained flat since almost 2012, even though increases in enrollment have happened and have led to increases in spending, but this has been almost entirely covered by federal dollars. We're now covering more enrollees using fewer state dollars than before expansion. A $35 million reduction is proposed for FY22, with plans to backfill this reduction with Federal CARES Act funding. The administration has indicated they plan to implement cost shifts and efficiencies over the next year to maintain this reduction and not replace these state general funds in FY23. We're concerned, though, that a detailed plan outlining the proposed cost shifts and efficiencies and its impacts to programs and services of Medicaid has not been developed. In the absence of a plan and timeline for implementation, we're not sure it's realistic that by FY23 the predicted efficiencies will be in place. Please consider whether now, in the time of greatest need for generations, is the right time to try to make cuts to safety net services like Medicaid. Thank you to all of the committee for your time and your public service. We know you have a really hard job to do, and we really appreciate all we do. We hope you can move forward with a Medicaid budget that makes good use of state dollars while protecting the health of our residents. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Bernard, for your testimony. At this time, I don't see anyone else signed up. So we're going to take a pause, and we're going to give it about 15, 20 minutes, so we're going to resume back here at 2 o'clock. So we're going to take a pause for now. Ready? 2 and 3. Hello. We are back here in Senate Finance, and we're going to continue public testimony. It looks like we have one person on the line at this point. We have Mr. Roger Branson. Mr. Branson, you have 2 minutes for your public testimony, so please begin when you're ready.
Yes, thank you to the committee. This is Roger Branson. I am a resident out of Eagle River, Alaska. I am also an advocate for mental health consumers and homeless folks here in Anchorage. I'm really concerned about this bill, the going into mental health trust funds as a beneficiary of the trust. That settled in 1994 for $200 million and 300,000 replacement acres to bring it back up to 1 million acres. And there was a minority opinion at that time that the $200 million, that specific replacement would have been $2 billion in 1994 dollars. And I'm really concerned with this administration and the governor reopening that settlement back up, because all that memory comes back forward, all the trauma that folks went through to create the trust. And I think we need to fund homelessness. I think we need to fund recovery. And I think we need to find a way to do it that doesn't tax the least among us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Branson, for your testimony. We have another gentleman who just joined us, Mr. Willie Keppel.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm Willie Keppel. I'm speaking for myself. I live in Quinnahawk, out here on the coast of the Bering Sea. And what I wanted to call about today is the headlines that are flashing across the state that we're going to have an extra $460 million in oil revenue this year. And I'm going, people are not realizing we have a $2.4 billion deficit. So in actuality, what we really should have is a $2 billion deficit, because you don't have any extra money to spend. It needs to be applied to the incurred debt that we already have. The other part is I would like to see, and I've campaigned long and hard for a long time on it, I want the money returned that the legislature took from the people's portion of the PFD and moved over to your side of the legislative column. That money is sitting there making interest. The people are broke. Rural Alaska is really broke. And pulling the money during this COVID has totally destroyed businesses, families. It's untold amount of damage that's been done. It's time to put back what's been taken from the people. It's not spent. Put it back and pay the people back what you took from us. It's time for responsibility down there. And collectively, I'm not seeing a whole lot of responsibility. All I'm seeing is spend, spend, spend. More money going to the unions and the nonprofits. There's responsibility would be going and auditing all of these hospitals and native corporations, healthcare corporations that are double and triple billing and collecting all.
Hello?
Another 10 years in Copper Center. I understand how this system works, and it's time that some serious forensic audits were done, probably in every department of the state. We need a straight across the board cut in every department except the state troopers. And that's what I had to say. I just would like to see some responsibility for the people being done down there, like establishing a constitutional budget cap, something you can't go over the top of when you don't know what your revenues are going to be. You fixed your last year's revenues on a projected 60. I think it was $68 or $69 per barrel profit.
So, Mr. Keppel, could you wrap up your testimony, please?
Hello?
Can you wrap up your testimony, please?
Oh, yes, ma'am, I could. What I'd like to see is the legislature actually, instead of basing your budget on projected profits, take a more realistic goal on what's flowing down the TAPS pipeline and do it at 45 a barrel instead of 68 like last year. I think you'll be in there a lot closer with the way the federal administration's looking at us anyway. That's what I have. Good luck with trying to get this all pieced together, and thank you very much for taking the time to listen to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Keppel, for your testimony. Do we have anyone else online at this time? No. Okay, we're going to take a pause until about 2:20. Does that sound okay, committee members? So 2:20 in about 15 minutes. We'll come back here at 1, 2, 3. Good afternoon. We are back on the record, continuing to hear public testimony on the Operating and Capital Mental Health Trust budget. We have a couple folks signed up online. Our first person signed up to testify is Bert, is it Hodling? So you have 2 minutes and begin whenever you're ready.
Hi, my name is Bert Hodling. I'm from Big Lake, Alaska. I find it very disheartening to see that once again this year, instead of looking at ways that we can trim the budget down, make it more to where it aligns with the revenue that we have coming in, the sole focus seems to be how to use the permanent fund dividend to pay for the entire state and capital budget just about, and how little to give us Alaskans who have been decimated by this COVID virus since day one. And I really do wish that you guys would reconsider and relook at ways that you can continue to cut the budget to start matching the revenue coming in and quit using and stealing the permanent fund dividend that belongs to all Alaskans to cover the shortfall that is out there. I don't know what else really to say other than we thought we had sent people into Juneau to be able to actually take and look and try to fix the budget problems, and instead have raised the budget from the best estimates I have seen out there, another $350 million above what last year was. That isn't a reduction, that's an increase. It's working the opposite direction of what we sent you there to do. I say you reject what you currently have on the table and continue to work harder to get reductions put in there that are going to have some meaningful change in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Next up, we have Gary McDonald.
Hello.
Hello, we can hear you.
Yeah, this is Gary from Anchorage. First of all, I hope you're all having a good day. And I just wanted to second Mr. Keppel that was on before the gentleman before. Everything he said, and also this gentleman, so I don't need to repeat. Just what they said is exactly what needs to happen. And we do need audits of a lot of these programs, and we need to cut down on the nonprofits, and the native corporations need to do more for their, you know, not for their people. They don't do enough, and they make lots of money, most of them. So that's it for today, and hope everything goes well in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald, for your testimony. Do we have anyone else signed up online? Okay, so we're going to take a pause again, and we'll come back in about 15 minutes, so that'll maybe be 2:35, so about a little over 10 minutes, so 2:35, and we'll come back then. Thank you very much.
Welcome back on the record. This concludes today's call-ins afternoon session from the 9 a.m. meeting on March 17th, 2021. We have gone through our list of citizens around the state that have called in. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. we'll reconvene to continue our public hearing on Senate Bill 49, Senate Bill 50 and 51, which is the operating budget, the capital budget, and the mental health budget. Tomorrow we have open channels for Prince William Sound in the morning, along with Kodiak and Southeast Alaska, and frankly all other locations. And in the afternoon, we'll be hoping to hear from Fairbanks, other areas of the interior, Copper Valley, and again, all other locations. So until tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we are adjourned.